if after he said, I'm not sometime after that he found the garnet, the question now is, to whom does the garnet pay the kefa? Who's entitled to the kefa? So, who's entitled to the kefa? So, how would that play out with this question of the Gemara? So the Gemara then proceeded and said the following. Do we say that when he came back, and who can tell me, what did the Gemara then proceed to say?
Yeah,
yeah, that what?
That either he's retracting his words.
And if he is retracting, then what?
Then
if
the Ghana came back,
he
then
would
we let him.
He would not get
yeah.
the
Kefa. Then the Baal,
then the Baal gets it. And if he's really not retracting, but dechuye komat chalev. Did we talk? We did.
He had a dastro.
Oh yeah. So yeah. What did that mean?
It meant that the guy like keeps asking him for the money, and he just basically wants to like delay it. And he's like, okay, of course I'm gonna. Like he said, I'm not gonna pay, but really he is gonna pay. Like,
right.
He's not, you know, on his
now
plate.
If that's what he's doing, then he will get the kefa because he's gonna pay. He wants to pay. It's just that the guy was pestering him a little too much for the money, and so he finally said to him, I'm not gonna pay, but he didn't mean it at all. Now, if that was his intent, that he really does want to pay, but he's just pushing him off for the time being, then if the ganav is caught, he would still get the kefa, because we don't assume he's retracting his original pledge to pay. So this was the question that was asked, and actually, I don't know if you went further in the Gemara there, the Gemara left it as a teiku, because the Gemara had a whole bunch of questions that were left unanswered. Okay, so what did this Gemara, Tosfos quoted this Gemara, so that's the Gemara that we need to know.
And the key to the copy.
Now, we'll bring that in as Tosfos brings it in. I know, but when we get to it in Tosfos.
Hold your horses. Steady girl.
Okay, so first Tosfos quotes this Gemara on Lamed Daled from Bava Metzia. Now, at first glance, this Gemara supports Rashi or does not support Rashi?
Does not support Rashi.
Tell me why.
Because it seems like even when you're outside of Bethan, you can retract.
Yeah. So Tosfos responds actually in defense of Rashi. And how many defenses does he offer?
Two. Yeah,
but the rest of you don't seem to.
Yeah, because the way you question things makes me nervous.
We didn't
think of it like that.
I didn't think of it in terms of numbers.
So how do feelings
always
work?
Always think
we,
in terms
we,
of
no,
numbers.
No, we said it explicitly. We said the inami is the alternative.
A second,
yeah,
right? Yeah, I know. I just
answer.
Didn't think of it.
You have to try to think that way. In other words, if Tosfos is offering inami, that means it's another interpretation. So you have to organize your mind.
We realized that it was
That means you have two interpretations. What's the first one? What's the second one? What's the difference between the first and the second? All that should be going on in your head. Okay?
So the first answer...
Could you read me the first answer? Just read me the words of the first answer.
Hainu kodem shiyatsa mi beis din.
Correct. And what does that mean?
That this case in Bava Metzia that seems to contradict Rashi is actually in support of him because when he changes his words, it's before he leaves beis din.
That's right. So that means the whole discussion of Gemara that the guy said, I'm going to pay, and then he came back and he said, I'm not going to pay. It's all taking place in beis din. No one's left the courtroom. And of course, according to Rashi, are you allowed to be chozer as long as you're still in beis din? Yes. So the first pshat of Tosfos for that Gemara is that they haven't left beis din. That's pshat number one. And then inami. Okay, so Rachel, read me the inami too.
Inami.
What does inami mean?
Alternatively, so he's going to offer a second explanation why this is not contradictory. Afilu achar sheyatsa, so it's
that
even
maybe
after they
even
left.
Even after he left.
But
which means he said Harini Mishalim in court,
and then
they left. He left, and sometime after he left the court, he said, "No, I'm not going to pay."
But. But it was in his mind, like he knew that he was going to go back on his word, even though he's not really allowed to.
Okay, so what about that?
So meaning that when in when they were in court, and he said, okay, I'll pay, and I'm not going to take a shvua, he knew that he was going to change his mind.
He knew that he was going to change.
But I'm not.
How do we know that he knew that?
Yeah, we were struggling with the dots.
That's not what Tosus is saying.
We thought that maybe.
And also, you stopped reading too soon.
Oh, I did.
I thought it was vague.
Lo mikni lei.
Lo mikni like fela debai at. Yeah, we thought that that Tosa was saying that even though he is not able to go back on his word, he will get the kefel.
Yes.
Because Sarah, you were good at explaining.
Because he didn't have.
Then I want to hear.
I know, but I didn't really. I couldn't really understand what had like Artuche Li Beidina.
Okay.
It
Well, tircha, you know what the
was
word
is. Was that tircha on his heart? It needs to be tircha on his heart. The Levi.
No, we didn't.
Dilabased it. No, not Libi. It's Lebay. The Laman is just a prefix. The word is Bay.
Well, we understood it super differently.
Bay Dina is
Basted.
That
he's not going to, because even though he can't really go back on his word,
yes.
He's not going to get the KFL.
Why not?
Because it bothers Basted.
What?
It bothers Beis Din. It's annoying to them to have to keep on going back. If the din isn't
sealed. Oh, we're worried about Beis Din's peace of mind. Is that it? You don't want to annoy them?
I thought that's what it was. Like, it would be crazy to say that every court case is left open and to have to bring it back.
Imagine people coming to no, don't. We don't want to deal with you.
I feel that way.
We're
every
tired
time I ask
today.
You a question in Seder. Sorry to bother you, but we don't understand this Gemara.
No, that's not it.
We got half of it.
You got the first half, yeah.
So can you explain it again?
And then he says a little bit further, Kida Amrinan Hosom Gabe Hahu Da Afkid Kipi. That's all part of this. What's Kida Amrinan Hosom?
See why it's
like that we say over there, Gabe concerning Hahu, that one, that person, that one, Da Afkid Kipi. What's the afkid keeping? Just the words.
Who is given?
What's afkid?
As a peacock.
Well, I was going to say as a peacock.
I know, but I'm asking about the grammar here.
That was appointed as a.
That pocaid. Was appointed. That
what,
was
who was made it?
It's like the case of the kikadon of a kipi, of a kifi.
No, the afkid is about the person.
Which person?
The showman.
No. The other guy. What's the afkid? It's like the mafkid, the one who's giving over the pikadon to be watched to the showman.
The pikadon.
Right? What is the name of the parak in
Hamafkid?
What's Hamafkid mean?
Hamafkid, pikadon l'chavre.
Yeah. How do you say the shomer if you're trying to use the shorish of pei kuf dalet? How would you describe
like
the shomer?
Nifal case
yeah,
or
that's
a
right.
Piki?
No, nifkad.
Yeah.
So the nifkad is the shomer, the mafkid is the
mafkid. We need like a list, like nishba, tovea, and then nitzvah.
These are like basic, you have to know that, otherwise you could get by in Tosis even if you thought it was the shomer, but it's, you know, it's just...
We just thought it was the case.
These
the
yeah, no, it has a meaning, words have meaning, it's a verb, it's a noun, but something, right? Not just throw out words. Mm-hmm. Every word has a meaning, and I want you to know what it is. And you don't have to know a lot of grammar. I don't know a lot of grammar, but I know enough to be able to know whether something is hifil or not. Afkid, mafkid is hifil. So over Shabbos, review...
Over Shabbos, learn the seven binyanim.
Review what hifil is.
No, I can't. I never learned it.
Yeah, I never learned to review it.
Okay, good. So then study...
Perfect. You guys could play all together.
Esther, so you'll have a little grammar lesson.
Is there a book you suggest?
I'll give you mine from
the Gemara.
No, the Gemara is not going to teach you the grammar.
Wait, can I ask you what does this mean? Ve'idat hey lemahadar.
I'm going to explain it all.
Okay, because you.
Okay. Now, did anybody look up this Kipi case?
Yes.
Did anybody understand what it was?
Yeah,
it
translates to Afkid. That one who gives.
No, only about the palace, because we didn't really understand
gives
it.
We also have to translate the palace.
It
was
Citadel, actually. In
it's the one who gives
it.
Citadel.
We thought it was a little extreme. That's why we had to ask about that.
Rav Nachman confiscates his house.
What happened?
Can what happened?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, I give nose rings to Rachel to watch. Okay, I give nose rings to Hannah to watch. And then,
I know.
So I give nose rings to Hannah to watch. And then Hannah says, give me back my nose rings. And I say, I don't remember where I put them, or I don't know where I put them. So then Hannah says, really? And she takes me to Rav Nachman. She's like, Rav Nachman, what do we do? Rav Nachman says, if you don't know where you put it, it's like being negligent, and you have to pay. Go pay. Rachel, pay Hannah for the nose rings. But I don't pay Hannah. I'm like, nope. And I go back to my house and I sit there. And then Rav Nachman comes and he can't drag me out of my house, but somehow he gets me out of my house. And he confiscates my house. Presumably on Hannah's, like for Hannah, not for his own keeping.
Well, you have a doubt about that.
Just saying.
You just thought it was a crazy case.
You wanted me to tell the story, so
we didn't think it was such a crazy case.
It's a typical case.
To confiscate a house for nose rings?
They confiscate his property.
They're confiscating property.
Property.
A citadel, no. Anyway, so they.
Now, of course, the only amount of the property that will be taken is the amount
the nose rings were.
That the jewelry costs. So if the jewelry costs $500, they're not going to give the guy a $500,000 house.
So it must be that the house was.
Well, then if the house is the only asset. That
Hannah said it was a bungalow
the
colony.
Those rings could have been like millions of dollars.
You missed. So the point is, if that is the only property that the guy has, then the courts will sell it, and then they'll take out of that the $500 and give it to the person that you owe the money to.
But so then subsequently.
So this is what. So therefore, this is what happened, that the property was confiscated, seized.
And then...
That Rav Nachman did that under his, Dionys.
And
who was the house given to?
To Hannah, in exchange for the nose rings, which are missing.
Okay,
but then at the end of the day, as Rachel put it, I'm doing my Pesach cleaning, and lo and behold, I find the nose rings.
Right.
So the Ikor, but in the meantime the nose rings have actually gone up in value.
That's right. So let's say initially when you had given the jewelry
we said it was worth $20.
$500. And then after the nose rings were found, let's say the new value is $600.
So, because the point is, and correct
point?
Me if I'm wrong, if
what
the nose rings were worth the same amount, then nothing would change. Because Hannah has the value from before the $500 from the sale of my house, and I now have the $500 value nose rings. But if they've gone up in value, now all of a sudden the question is, what do we do with this excess in value, that extra $100? To whom is it awarded? So Rav Nachman said that I should give Hannah back her nose rings and that Hannah should return to me the house.
That's right.
And I think that was the end of the story. That's the end of the case. The story continues. But
that's the end of the case and the story in the Gemara. The
question but there's a whole other part of the story that Rava...
What?
The story with Rava.
The what?
When he was learning from Rav Nachman. Isn't that part
and
of the story?
And what is it? I just remind you, what does it say?
He says, how on earth could... Basically, do you want me to stay outside?
Yeah.
He says, how could you say this? Because it contradicts...
Oh, yes,
our
case
course. Over here.
Yes, yes.
They were learning this parak of Hamas.
Because we know from our case that we just learned that when the shomer does a kinyan on the object when he pays the baal back, and then Rav Nachman...
What, say that again? That we learn what? Just say it again.
From which case?
You just said from our case.
We know from our case that we learned here that when the shomer is mishalim to the baal, he does a kinyan on the object. Then like it's his.
And name. Therefore what?
And therefore
the kefal
you're saying
come
that you
to
can
him.
Go back and then the kefal goes to him and
the
appreciation and value goes to him. It's his now. It's his now.
Yeah.
So why is Rav Nachman saying that those nose rings should go back to the Baal? It's just they're the shomers now.
That's right.
And then he says Rav Nachman didn't answer because over there it's not a tircha for the court, but over here it is a tircha for the court.
Okay, so you're making the same mistake. You're saying it's a tircha for the court. That's
so,
not what he's saying.
Uh-oh.
So it's a tircha for
which would
for
explain
the guy.
Why we didn't understand what it meant.
To go back to court?
Atrache
on them.
A tircha
on
whom? Atrache, it's a tircha on him.
Who's him?
The
shomer.
No,
the other
bar.
Guy. The other guy.
The mafia, the balabayas.
To have to keep going back to these.
You understand what it's saying?
Because he got the money now. He's no,
well, he didn't necessarily get the money.
Wait, I have to process 1 second.
Who can explain it?
Okay.
I'm usually baby is a tear hug for him because if they left the court, and if they go back to the court,
I don't understand why one case is more of a tear hug for the Baal Picato than that.
Something to do with the guy taking a shua?
No, I don't think it has to do with
the shua.
I don't think it has to do with the shua. We're saying for some reason it's like worth his while to go back in one case and not in the other. That in the other case it's just the tircha. But I don't understand why.
I'm saying this over here. In our case, in post votes, it's a tircha for the guy. There is a shua involved if they go back to court.
When you call our case, you mean Motor Bar Mitzvahs? What do you mean the Shomer Chinam case? The Shomer by who claims it was stolen?
Right, and the guy says he's going to pay.
We have two cases that Tosis is bringing together. The case of the Shomer who claims it was stolen, and then said he'll pay, and then he changed his mind and said, I will not pay. Right? And then Tosis feels that what's parallel to that case is this case of kipi. Because he says, Kida Amin, and it's like we say in the kipi case. Yeah. I'm just setting it up. Right? We have to. Okay. Now, you said correctly, one of you had that the following, that what was the rationale? Not, the rationale as to why Shomer Chinam gets the kefil in general when he's willing to pay. What's the rationale?
The ownership was given to him.
That the Baal, the mafkid, it's understood, even though it was not stipulated explicitly, but it's understood what? That, let's say if I gave you this object to watch for me. Let's say Racheli is my Shomer, and I gave this computer to watch for me. Now, when I gave it to her, she took possession of it, but she doesn't own it because I didn't give it to her as a gift. I'm not selling it to her. I'm just giving it to her to watch. So therefore, the object belongs to me. However, it's implicit in what I gave it to her that actually this giving to her might actually turn out to be a transaction of acquisition. That it might actually turn out that when she picks it up, let's say it's a computer so she can take hold of it and pick it up, that she's actually doing a kinyan of ownership on it. But that will be determined if what happens.
If it's stolen and she offers
to pay, exactly. So whether when I gave her the computer, let's say today, right now I'm going to give her the computer to watch, whether she's taking possession of it just to be a shomer on it, or her taking possession might also end up being an act of acquisition. You understand what I'm saying? It could become an act of acquisition if what? If down the road
it were to be stolen.
It will be stolen and you're willing to pay me.
So does it make sense to think of it as a conditional kinyan?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying it is. Now, of course, if it's never stolen, or if it is stolen, but you don't want to pay, then that will never be triggered. That potential for acquisition will never be triggered. And it's only going to be triggered if it's stolen and you're willing to pay. Now, the case of Kipi parallels that.
I still don't understand the inami.
I'm getting to, we're not even there yet. I'm just trying to explain.
Okay, just wondering, sorry.
Not there yet. Now, in the Kipi case, we're not talking there about it being stolen, there's no ganev, and there's no kefil. But there's something else that parallels it.
It went missing,
and he is chayef to pay. because he was negligent, because he didn't remember where he put it, and that's considered negligence. So, and when the kipi eventually were found, they went up in value. The increase in value is what is parallel to kefil. You understand how they... Because kefil is an additional amount above the principal. Well, the increase in value is an additional amount above what the principal was worth at the time that the shomer got his hands on the kipi. You understand? Now, the same assumption that we made in the case where it was stolen, that there's a potential to actually acquire it, that same assumption exists in the kipi case. What do I mean? That when I, let's say I gave Racheli the kipi to watch, I gave it to her to watch, but built into that is what else? Is the potential for a kinyan if what should happen. If let's say she lost it, or in this case she doesn't know where she put it. If you're willing to pay me, and then the kipi will be discovered, the kipi will be yours. Now if the kipi do not go up in value, or it's no big deal. But if the kipi do go up in value, you follow, then who'll get the kipi with the increased value?
The
shomer will.
Yeah.
Now, why? Because the shomer is going to pay for it. Remember the Gemara that I showed you yesterday in Baba Metzia? What if the shomer claimed he was negligent? But did I show that Gemara? No, maybe I didn't.
Okay. Which Gemara? We have Baba Metzia.
It's right there
it
on Daf Lamed Dalet, I believe.
Amid Aleph or Amid
Aleph? Yeah, Amid Aleph. You give it to me.
No, I don't know.
Yes, the very next... not the very next. Omar Rav Papa. It's about six lines further down. Shomer Chinam Kevan Sha'amar Pashati Makna Lake Thela. You see it? Where are you looking? Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph. Here. You see it?
Hannah. Yeah, sorry, I just accidentally closed.
Six lines down from
the word, the Lo Shilim, Shilim Mamish, which is what we did yesterday. It's towards the top of the Yomot. It's like a third of the way down the Yomot.
Yes.
So then a few more lines. You see, is that Marav Papa?
Yes.
Yeah.
What
does that mean? So the Gemara says that this din that he gets the kefil and he gets the ownership of the item is not only if it was actually stolen and he could have sworn but instead he decides to pay. It's even in a case where he doesn't have the option of swearing, where the din is you're chayef to pay. If he pays, she's chayef to pay. Then if the ganav is, let's say he was poshe, he left the animal outside and a ganav stole it. But that was due to his negligence. So then, once the ganav is caught, he'll get the kefil, the shomer will. So you see from this gemara that as long as the shomer is going to be paying, whether it's because he has to pay, because let's say he was poshe, or because he volunteers to pay instead of swearing, it doesn't matter. As long as he's going to be paying for the object, if in the case of the Gemara, if the ganav will be found later, the shomer gets the kefil. Okay. And therefore, the case of kipi is along the same line of thinking. Instead of there, we're not talking about kefil, but we're talking about an increase in value. So therefore, since the shomer... Now, if the shomer, therefore, is going to pay, and then he ends up finding the kipi, the shomer gets to keep the kipi with the increased value. Now, but what does that gemara, what's this atruche lebedina? Okay, as follows. It's very logical. Maybe we're gonna figure it out. Okay, I'll tell you on whom it's the tircha. The tircha is not on the bezdin.
No, it's on, said it was on the person.
Yeah.
That
on
we
the,
figured out.
Right, it's on the mafkid right now. What is the relevance of that? First of all, what does it exactly mean that it's a tircha on him? You have to know, make sure you understand what that means. What is the tircha on him?
It must be that it's more than just the bothers, that he's losing out. Maybe.
You don't have to say more, that you can just talk about a bother.
Really? That's sufficient. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it's an annoyance to him.
What's the annoyance? That's what I'm asking.
Does it have to do with this whole acquisition?
Well, it has to do something with the Beidina, because it's Atruche Le Beidina.
Yeah.
Is it the, there's a difference between Kefo, is it, which is a one-time payment done, and an object which is in Merkel?
No.
Are they like once more valuable than the other?
No, no, no. Nobody? Okay. I'm going to describe you two scenarios. I'm going to make something up.
Yeah.
And you tell me your reaction. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is how feelings work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You
owe me $10,000. And I loaned it to you a year ago, and we made up, we agreed upon it, that you'll pay me back in a year. $10,000, a lot of money, $10,000. So I come knocking on your door after the year, and I ask you for the $10,000. So the first scenario is, you say to me, of course I'll pay you. You run right to your, you know, to your little safe you have in the house, you take out $10,000 and pay me on the spot. That's one scenario. Second scenario, I knock on your door, I said, you paid $10,000. And you say, oh, I don't remember. Didn't I pay you back? I'm not so sure. And I say, and I take out the shtar, because I took out a shtar. I said, look, here's the shtar that you owe me $10,000. Okay, can you come back next week? I'm too busy now. Okay, so I come back next week, and I knock on your door, and I say, $10,000. Nah, you know, I don't want to pay you back. Listen, you're a wealthy man, so you give it to me as a gift. You know? And I'm saying no. So then he said, okay, tough. Okay, so I go call a lawyer. I'm going to have to pay the lawyer $400 an hour. And I say, I have this guy owes me $10,000, and he doesn't want to pay me. What do I do?
So my
lawyer, who's now being paid $400 an hour, is saying, well, you know what? We'll write a letter, and we'll take him to court. Take him to court. Oh my goodness! And well, you know, you'll have to miss a day's work, you know, to go to court. Oh gee. So we go to court, and then the other guy, you know, hires his lawyer. We come in, and the judge says, oh, we can't do the case today. It's postponed for 6 months. So I still have my lawyer on retainer. Are you getting the idea?
This is the thing with...
And finally 6 months come, and then we finally... And the judge hears the case, and he says, yeah, well, he has all the documents. You owe $10,000. So the guy says, yeah, but I have no money. No. So the court's now, well, do you have any assets? So you say, well, I'm not saying.
Oh, my gosh.
So now the courts are going to have to do an investigation, look in to find out if the guy owns any assets. And that'll take another 3 months. And my lawyer, I'm still paying my lawyer here and there. So he's still on retainer. Finally, from the time that I asked you for the money, 9 months have passed. I finally got paid. Because they tracked down some property that you own in Florida, and they seized it, and they paid me out of that property the $10,000. Now, the two scenarios. Do you see a difference between the two scenarios?
Yes. Similar to what we remember last year, we spoke about how men are rather would not get a divorce because it's going to be like a tircha on them. And we discussed, we like kind of discussed.
I don't remember exactly.
I'm going to look it up. But I feel like that sounds familiar. You went to the kind of the whole thing. You're going to have to the lawyer.
Now the following. So after the end of all of, can you imagine, this is what happened in the Keepy case. The guy didn't want to pay. So then they had to track down his property. And I didn't even mention you have to then appraise the property. Who's going to pay for the appraisal fee? Oh my goodness. So you go to the appraiser. Well, I'm busy right now. Come back in 2 weeks when I'll be able to appraise your property. You get this. What a tircha this has become. If you would have just been forthcoming and paid me the $10,000 in my example, I wouldn't have to deal with all of this now. So what will be if the Shomer Chinam, let's take the case, whether it's the Kipi case or even the Ganav case, the Shomer said, I'll pay. So the Baal HaBayis says, okay, pay me. He said, well, I'll pay you next week. Okay, come back next week. I'm busy now. And I finally have to drag you to court to get my money from you. And then I'm going to turn around. And the question then is, and when the Ganav is found, you're going to get the kefa?
Oh, yeah.
After you put me through the ringer? Mm-hmm. After you put me through all of this tircha? The whole deal that we made at the beginning, the implicit deal that if you pay, you'll get the kefa. That's only if you pay me without causing me a hardship. But if you're going to cause me a tircha, I never agreed to that. You get it? In the case of Kipi, the guy didn't want to pay. Rav Nachman had to go track down his property, appraise the property, sell it.
Yeah.
You have to think about, you know, for the mafkid, he had to go to court. You know, it was a tircha for him. Instead of the guy just paying for the Kipi, which he should have done because he was chayiv to pay without causing all these problems. So what do we see from the Kipi case? That if the guy ends up paying, but only after it was a tircha for the Baal HaBayis, even though he ended up getting paid, but it came through a tircha, in that scenario, we don't make that assumption that he would give him ownership of the item, even though he ended up paying. You understand what I'm saying? Now we understand what Tosfos is saying in the Inami. What was the case?
So in court, the guy agreed to pay.
And then he said, I won't pay.
And then they leave, and he says,
I won't. No, he left. Let's say it's outside.
Yeah. He said, I won't pay.
I won't. Now, can he be chozer? No.
But
if he said, he still will cause a tircha for the mafkid. Because if he's saying, I'm not going to pay, even though he has to pay, so it's going to be a drawn-out, schlepped-out affair with this guy until I get payment, because he doesn't want to pay, even though he has to pay. So that's what it is. So if, even though he really can't be chozer, but he won't get the kefil, because he would be causing a tircha to the mafkid. And Tosis is saying this based on the case of Kipi, where we see that very same idea. It's really quite brilliant. See how clever Tosis is. Yeah, go ahead.
So just to clarify, Atrachei Labidina is that
he's making him, causing him a tircha to go to court.
So like the judicial process is a tircha.
He's being matriach him to Bezdin, because now he has to go to Bezdin.
So how do we see this from the Kefil case, though? I mean, I know the Kefil case was a tircha.
So it's the same thing, because the guy said, I'm not going to pay.
But there was no...
But originally he said he will pay, so he has to pay.
So that's just showing us what a tircha is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's
what
no
are you
kefa?
Showing us?
I'm just saying there's no...
What do you mean there's no kefa?
No, with the
kipi?
Yeah, there's no kefa.
But there's the increase in value is what's equivalent to...
But,
the,
you know what I'm saying?
It's the same thing.
I know there's an increase in value, but the guy who was the shomer, he doesn't lose out on anything. There's nothing. There's an increase in value in the earrings.
I'm not following. I don't know where you're.
No, I just
stuck.
Don't understand.
Who's
how
that on the case though?
I'm just saying there's no.
Well, no, the
there's
one.
No analogy. No, I don't understand how. Yeah. The analogy here, like with the KFL, like okay, with the Inami case, the Shomeru loses that on the KFL. I'm saying he
yes, in that
it.
Case too, he doesn't get the keeping.
Right, but why would?
Because he paid for the keeping. They took away his house.
Right.
So he ended up paying for the keeping.
Yeah, he paid for the keeping.
So then he should.
But then they went up in value.
The keepy, he paid for the keepy by giving up his house. Not he didn't do it willingly. The courts just seized it.
Okay. And
okay.
Then,
so now should he now by virtue of the fact that he paid for the keepy, does he now own the keepy if the keepy should be found?
Oh, okay.
Just like by the ganav, if we find the ganav, does he own the object in order to get the kefil? Here, in the keepy case, does he now, after paying for the keepy, does he own the keepy so that he would then benefit from the increase in value?
Is the
so the answer is no, because he caused the tircha to the mafkid. Yeah.
Okay. Just to say, would it make sense to assume that if the keepy had not gone up in value,
well, it would have been a non-issue.
Then it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant because it's...
Because the equivalent value, original value was given to Hannah, and I now have that.
Yeah, so the only thing is, you know, so he already paid for the keepy, so either the shomer will just get his money back and the keepy will go to the owner, or if the owner doesn't care...
Like the owner could buy them back, theoretically.
Or the shomer will just keep the keepy.
And then, what if... the keepy subsequently appreciate in value, meaning the way the case was presented here makes it sound like when they are found, like at that moment, that item currently has a higher market price than it
well,
did
it
when it was
it just means that it went
given.
Up after the keepy were given to the shomer to watch, so it doesn't matter when, as long as it was after.
But my point is, I guess, what happens if same kind of a case, the keepy are lost, they seize my house, give the correct value to Hannah, I find the keepy, everybody's like, okay, fine, same value, stay the same. 10 years later, the price of keepy is doubled.
Yeah, but what happened to the keepy when it was found? What did you do with it? What happened? Tell me what happened.
I kept them because Hannah has
well, then
got
it's
the
over.
Money.
Then it's over.
Okay, so it would have to happen when they were found.
Yeah, then... No, when they're found, then the decision is made. Well, does he own the keepi or not? Now, technically, if he caused the tircha, he doesn't own them. So actually, what would really...
He doesn't even own the keepi, let alone the
he doesn't
the
own the keepi. Oh, so really, the truth really is, what should really happen, unless the balabais doesn't care, that the keepi should be returned to the balabais. The balabais will then reimburse the shomer, because he got his keepi back, so then the $500 they had given him, he'd be reimbursed.
Is that the default? Like with
because
the courts would...
since you caused me a tircha, you don't own the keepi. Okay. So if the keepi are found, it's just that in that case, it doesn't matter because the keepi are worth $500. The $500 is what
so
was
it's
paid.
Not even that if the shomer caused tircha that he doesn't get the kefil or the ikor. It's that the kinyan was never...
That's the whole... That's okay. Right. That's the whole point.
And then the kefil ikor is just a secondary byproduct.
A consequence of...
Okay.
Right. This is about the kinyan on the item. And I said, that's the key.
The Inami is supportive of Rashi?
Yes, because it's a saying that he already left Bezdin, so really then he cannot be Chozer. But even though he can't be Chozer, if he says he wants to be Chozer, he won't get the Kefil because he would then be causing a Tircha to the Mafke, because the Mafke will now have to go to court to force the guy to pay.
And we assume he does end up paying.
Yeah, even though he ends up paying.
We assume he ends.
But he won't get the kefil because he caused the balabais a tircha. In a sense, the whole idea, why would a balabais even be willing to let the guy become the owner of the item? Is if you'll pay me and I won't have tircha, I won't have it, fine, I'm willing to give you the item. But if you're going to cause me a heartache, I'm not going to give it to you. That's what I meant when I said it's very logical. It's a very rational thing. You make my life easy, then I'll give you the object, and if the God of this found, you'll be able to get the kefil.
Because then it's like, I can wash my hands of the thing. It's fine. Easy done.
But if you're going to make it hard for me to get my money back, then the whole deal's off. Then I'm not going to give you anything.
That's cool.
Isn't that... Okay. You sorry, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Let's just read that inside. Inami afilu achar shiyotza. Even the case is even after he left Beis Din. The I date lamahader, if his thoughts are to be chozer.
No.
And so he's saying if his thoughts are, because we're not sure whether he's trying to be chozer or trying to be docha, right? But if his thoughts are to be chozer, afapishena yochol lachzor bo, even though he's not able to be chozer, because he left Beis Din and it's too late to be chozer, lo mikne lekfeilo. He will not get the kefil. The boy atruche lebeidina, because it is necessary to bother to go to Beis Din. Who has to go?
Meaning he's requiring this bother going to Beis Din of the mafkid.
Yeah, because the mafkid, the shomer says, I'm not going to pay. So how's the mafkid supposed to get his money? He's going to have to schlep him to court. Okay, kid da amrinan hosam, just like we say there, gabi ahud afkid kipi. Just like we say there about the case of the guy who's, because the Gemara went on to say there that if you cause a tircha, you don't get ownership of the item to benefit from the increase in value of the kipi. So to here, you don't get ownership of the item to benefit from getting the kefil if the ganav is found.
Oh yeah.
We all got it? Okay. Who can tell me what's next? Va'adraba.
Just a quick question. Sorry, about in Bava Metzia. So we really only needed through the end of the case with what Rav Nachman does. What Rava...
And what Rava said to him.
Says to... We also...
Don't you?
I mean, I think so, because that's where he brings up that there seems to be a contradiction.
Yeah, and what was the resolution was the idea of tircha.
Okay, but so that's where we stopped.
You need that, otherwise, okay. Otherwise,
yeah.
Where
and
do
then,
we know?
But we didn't continue on to this Deshuma Hadar.
But do you need it?
You're when we were Tosfot. Reading through the Gemara, I wasn't sure, and we haven't gotten much further in Tosfot.
Well,
I mean,
okay,
I
so at that point you stop. If you see that you need to go back to it, then you'll go back to it.
Okay.
There's no reason why you have to learn the whole Gemara there if you don't even know whether you need it or not. Okay, you do as needed. Okay. Now, what's next?
Look for a person.
Yeah, Hannah, what's next?
I wasn't sure.
Read it.
Va'adraba, Mishum Raya, he, the Lom
Masada. Say again. What's?
Va'adraba.
After the Mishum?
Rahia.
Misham.
Oh, sorry, Misham.
We said that. Yeah.
Misham. What's the word after Misham?
Raya.
Right.
Yeah.
What's adraba?
On the contrary.
Yeah.
He the lo matzi hadar, that he's not allowed to retract and go back to court. De matzi hadar be, that if he was allowed to go back to court, am I? Why? I don't understand what that question was.
Well, you can't stop there.
It's not the end of the question.
No.
Am I eight long lamim ar dechuyu? And then we really
why
don't
would
translate
we,
just translate
why
is why yeah
why is that for us to say
yes
that we
what's that
is,
to push
that is,
to push away
that is push
what's kamachave he's intending so go over it again why is there for us to say to push away he's intended.
Meaning that his intention is just to be doch matzah.
What's Tosfos talking about?
He's saying, Tosfos is saying that like these cases are actually a proof that you can't retract.
When you say these cases, what case are you talking about?
The Kefi case.
Oh, he's talking about the Kipi case.
No.
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, I think he's talking about the Kipi case.
Okay, so what's he saying about the Kipi case?
He's saying from the Kipi case that it's actually a proof that you're not able to retract.
What? Who was retracting anything in the Kipi case?
It's the Inami case.
I don't think we mean retract. I think Sarah is talking about the fact that who it would go to.
So
the Kinyan.
Chodr means to be chozer. Nobody was chozer in the Kibi case.
It was.
What case are we talking? Yeah. Is he referring
the
to?
The first case.
What do you call the first case?
Either he's Rashi's case.
Harini Nishva or Harini Mishali.
No, it's the case where we said either he's like.
Which case? Tell me, where do you find this case?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
The case of
that's right.
That's what Rechali said, yeah.
No, she didn't.
I said the case from Shavuos.
She's saying the case of Shavuos.
No, the case from Matthias, when we said either he's retracting it or he's pushing.
Yeah, so what's Tosa
saying? Well, that was the first thing I said, and then when you said no, I said
he was able to.
I didn't hear that.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Clearly, I wasn't firm enough.
Yeah.
If he was able, if the din was that once you left the courthouse, you were able to retract, then we would say, okay, so he's just retracting what he's saying.
Yes.
We wouldn't even suggest maybe he's kidding.
Good. She got it.
We just say, but by the fact that we suggest that maybe he's just pushing him off.
Yes.
We see that you're not really able to retract when you come out.
That's right.
We have to like find an excuse for what he's doing.
Yeah, she got it.
I don't think I fully understand.
I'm going to repeat it as follows. Tosfos then, look what happened. Tosfos first quoted the Gemara in Baba Metzia, this case about the Shomer, who said, I'll pay, and then he came back and he said, I won't pay. And the Gemara then said, is he trying to be Chozer or is he trying to be Docha? Isn't that right? So at first glance, I'm just reviewing the Tosfos. At first glance, Tosfos quotes this Gemara thinking that it's a Kasha on Rashi, because the impression is that the guy can be Chozer. So Tosfos gave two terutzim. The first terutz was that he hasn't left Beis Din yet. So since he hasn't left Beis Din, that's why he has the right to be chozer, but the Gemara is not sure whether he's intending to be chozer or just to be docha. But if we knew that he wants to be chozer, then he can be chozer. Isn't that right? And then the second answer of Tosfos is what? He really can't be chozer, even though he's trying to be chozer, he can't. But since he's causing a tircha, right, that's why he wouldn't get the kefil if he's trying to be chozer. And then Tosfos says, almost like it's like going on the offensive, and Tosfos says, and the truth is, that Gemara actually supports Shitas Rashi, that legally you really can't be chozer once you said, I'm going to pay. You can't be chozer. Why does that Gemara actually support it? And this is what Sahava said. Because if the halacha was that a person can be chozer, as even after you left Beis Din, you can always be chozer, then if the guy, look what happened here. First the Shomer said, Hareini Mishalim, right? And then he came back, let's say he had left Beis Din, came back and he said, I'm not going to pay. Is there something unclear about his return statement of, I'm not going to pay? Why on earth would the Gemara even consider the possibility that really he's just trying to be docha, but he really wants to pay? Why would we think he really wants to pay when the guy said beferish, I'm not going to pay? So Tosfos is claiming that if the din were that you can always be chozer even after you leave Beis Din, then the Gemara should not have had a suffix about what he means when he then came back and said, I'm not going to pay. What is the doubt? He said, I'm not going to pay, so he changed his mind. The very fact that the Gemara is considering what? That maybe he's just trying to be docha is because legally you're not allowed to be chozer. So if legally you're not allowed to be chozer, then why is the guy saying, I'm not going to pay? Say, if we assume that he knew that halacha, that he can't be chozer, so why is he being chozer? So that's why the Gemara thought, oh, maybe he doesn't really mean to be chozer, because he knows he can't. He's just trying to be docha. So that's what Tosfos did. So he turns around and says, actually, that Gemara supports Rashi. It's not a kasha on Rashi that I have to defend. It supports Rashi. And that's the adrabah. Misham raya. It's the opposite. It's not that there's a kasha from that Gemara that I have to, you know, that Rashi has to defend against. From there is a proof for Rashi. Because Amai Yislam L'meim L'tzvi Kamachami, why would we say that he's trying to push away? Right? Meaning, he's retracting. There's nothing unclear about his words. He's trying to retract. So therefore, if we keep reading, Va'al kein nira perush hakuntras. Therefore, says, concludes Tosis, therefore the perush hakuntras, I like that. Tosis agrees with the perush, with Rashi.
Wow. I know, I got so excited.
So that means, again, what is that? As long as you're in Beis Din, you could change your mind. You walk through the door, you go out the door, you cannot be chozer anymore. This is Shitas Rashi. And Tosfos has at first defended Rashi from the Gemara in Baba Metzia, and then actually claimed that that Gemara actually supports Rashi. Okay. Now, then comes Tosfos then does what? V'lo kamo shepiresh Rabbeinu Tam b'sefer Hayashar.
Wow.
And this is not like the way Rabbeinu Tam explained
things. Yes, I said the same thing.
What?
I guess it's not Rabbeinu Tam speaking.
Mm-hmm. No.
This is not, he's not the one who authored this to us.
That's right.
I guess we could come to that.
It never is. Tosfos always quotes from Rabbeinu Tam.
There are Tosfos, but they don't quote from anyone. It could be Rabbeinu Tam. He just didn't say.
Oh, we don't know who wrote. I mean,
yeah.
So I don't know. I bet historians do have a sense of who wrote it.
Asking professor.
Do we know of any of them that were actually written by Rabbeinu Tam?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why. I didn't think so, but maybe I don't know. You can ask your professor.
It could be anyone. That's not that crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Okay. So can somebody tell me now, Rabbeinu Tam, in the work Sefer HaYashar, which is, if you look at it, it's on your source sheet, he was commenting directly, not on our Gemara in Shavuos, not on the Gemara in Baba Metzia directly, but he was commenting on another Gemara in Sanhedrin. And therefore, in order to really know what Rabbeinu Tam said, you really need to know. And unfortunately, the way that's I say unfortunately because there's a lot of Gemara, I couldn't really just take out. I mean, I could have taken two lines here, one line there. It would have just been
it's
hodgepodge.
So, we like it.
So I gave you. So you had to really go through that entire Gemara.
It's the only thing you just didn't realize that to begin with.
Yeah. So actually, it is on the source sheet that I said to prepare.
So we don't
it's
have to
funny
look
that we just. I never. We go. I've always gone through the source sheet in order. I never thought like, let's look and see if Rav Khan put.
Not only for the
So, I don't know how far you got into that Gemara.
We did not finish.
So we read the end first because that's where we started, and then we started again from the Mishnah, and we got to the beginning.
Quite get to where we started the end.
Yeah, we have like a segment in the middle that we haven't gone through yet. So we got to the top of Haftarah with that.
So let's go back.
Yeah, we did a good chunk.
I think we get.
Okay, so let's start. We have some time now.
Especially now that we figured out Be'etain is not something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
I quite like this.
So the Mishnah begins. Now this Mishnah is about I explained it, I think, to Zahav and to Sarah that this is about that the two litigants, we're talking about a civil matter, they're fighting over money, and the matter's going to go to court because they can't resolve it themselves. What the Mishnah talks about is that if both parties would agree that, let's say, one of the Dayanim would be either one's father. Ordinarily, a father is puzzled to be a Dayan, just like he would be puzzled to be a witness. It's not true. Karov is puzzled. So I couldn't, if my brother was in some litigation in court, I could never be a witness to testify in that case. And likewise, if it were my son, I could never be, the father could never be a dayan or to be a witness in that case. But what will be if both litigants agree? So let's say if Zahav and Hannah were in some civil litigation, and let's say Hannah said to Zahav, you know what? I would agree that if your father is one of the dayanim, I trust him, he's an honorable man, I'll accept whatever he says. So, I mean, Zahava is happy because it's her father. Hannah is willing. Now, can you do that?
Yeah.
Answer is yes, because, listen, it's Hannah's money. If she's willing either to pay it, whatever the case might be, based on what Zahava's father, who's part of the Bez Din Paskins, it's her money. If she's willing to do it, that's fine. So that's what the Mishnah talks about. So Neman Olai Abba, Neman Olai Ovicha, or Shlosha Roe Bakar, which were known to be pasul, because they were because they were just known to be big amaratzim. The other possibility, but I don't know if that would be true, is that maybe they were suspected of being ganovim because they would shepherd the animals on other people's property. But these were shepherds.
You know, it says bakar.
What? Bakar are cattle.
So they're not shepherds.
Well, cattle.
Oh, never mind. Okay, no, I was wondering if I had mistranslated.
Anyway, so I think it's because they were amaratzim, I think, is the, so that they were, because of ignorance, they were puzzled to be dayanim. But what if they said, we'll accept the psak of the Shlosha Roe Bakar? So the Mishnah, there's another case in the Mishnah that I have to go over with you, which I will, but what does the Mishnah say about these cases, the ones that I mentioned, it's a Neman Olai Abba, or Neman Olai Abba.
Well, the Rabbi
Meir
says Yochel Latzerbo, and the Chachamim say Eino Yochel Latzerbo. So the question now is, let's go back to the example that I gave before, that at first Hannah had agreed for Zahava's father to be one of the Dayanim. So let's say subsequently, we don't know what subsequently exactly means, but sometime later, Hannah said, you know, I changed my mind. I don't want your father. So the question is, can you do that? Or is Hannah locked into her earlier decision or not? So Rabbi Meir says, Yochel Latzerbo. So according to Rabbi Meir, Hannah could change her mind. And therefore, we'll have to get someone else to replace Zahavi's father in the Beis Din. But the Chachamim say, no, Eino Yochel Latzerbo. Hannah cannot change her mind. She's locked in, and therefore the father will be one of the dayanim, or whatever the Bez Din Paskins, Zahava will have to abide by it, if it's against her. Yeah.
The assumption is that when we say they can or can't change, this is after having originally agreed to this person as the
that's
judge, but prior
know.
To the trial.
Well, we don't know. See, that's the...
So, because I thought it was
not.
We
don't know for sure. We know
at
some later point in time, but we don't know how to pinpoint, you know, that... which the Gemara will do it.
Right.
Okay. Now, there was another case that the Gemara gave where, let's say what? Somebody... Let's say you had to swear to me. Okay? Let's say you owe me a shvur. But this is not the case of the father anymore. There's a whole new case. Let's say you owe me a shvur. And, okay, so what do I say to you? Now, typically, if you owe me a shvur, you know, you have to swear b'shem Hashem. you ahead and you need, let's say it's a shvua of motive of mitzvah, you need Nikita's chayfetz. So what happened? I said to you, you know what? Dor li b'chai roshva. Those were the words of the Mishnah. How did you understand that?
Like as in a way to take a shvua.
What is that? Rashi didn't say.
Rashi just said.
Rashi said.
Shvua. Just said it.
So yeah. So what is it? So what, the guy owes him a shvua. So what are you saying to him? Swear to me. Oh yeah. Well, that's what you had to do.
By the life of your head. We translated it literally and just assumed.
I know,
it was
but what
a...
is that? I think what he means is, just swear to me. You don't have to mention the Shem Hashem. You don't. I mean, I don't know if this is part of it too. We don't have to go to the formality of Nikita's chayfetz. We don't have to go through all that.
Just. By you.
You just tell me, swear me by your life that whatever you're saying is the truth, right? And I'll accept it. Now, he didn't have to do that. He could have, you know, taken him into court and they could have gone through the whole formality. Remember, part of that formality is that the Beis Din will try to make this guy afraid the whole bit. He'll have to swear b'shem Hashem. He'll have to take a chayfetz, right? So, according to the Rambam, we'll have to swear the Lashon HaKodesh. He said, so he could have him do all that, but he decided not to. He just said, okay, just swear to me b'chai roshva. Question is, can you change your mind? Let's say I made that offer to you. Okay, swear to me b'chai roshva. Can I later say no? I don't want that. I want you to come into court. You're going to swear like a regular shavua. Again, Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says Yochel Atzerbo, and the Chachamim say Ena Yochel Atzerbo. All right, we ran out of time. So try for Monday. Monday we have a quiz.
Yes, we do.
Everybody has to take the quiz on Monday. Is there anyone now who cannot take the quiz on Monday? Tell me now.
I assume people.
Rachel's not here.
Okay, that means everybody takes the quiz on Monday.
Except Rachel.
So potentially.
Potentially.
Okay.
Add
a question.
Okay. There are 30. It's a true or false quiz.
I'm just telling you now. You'll have it on recording.
I'm
going to do very badly.
All I want is.